Chapter 22, The Vanishing Moon. 3 days and three long nights later, Firedrake was standing on the shores of the Arabian Sea waiting for night to fall. His scales were dusty with yellow sand. It was a long time since he had set out from his northern valley in search of the rim of heaven. His cave at home seemed infinitely far away, and the dark sea ahead of him looked like an infinite expanse too. Firedrake looked up at the sky. The last of the light vanished as if the waves had swallowed it up, and only the round moon, bright as silver, shone over the water. There was still quite a long while to go before the dark time of the moon and the new moon's rising. But would he have found the rim of heaven by then?
10 more days, said Ben.
He was standing beside the dragon on the sand and, like Firedrake, looking toward the horizon where sky and sea merged. There lay their journey's end, hidden beyond the waves and mountains.
We ought to reach the palace I saw in Azivsai in 10 days' time at the latest. It can't be much farther after that.
Firedrake nodded.
He looked at the boy.
Are you homesick?
Ben shook his head and leaned against the dragon's warm scales.
No, he said. I could go on flying like this forever.
I'm not homesick either, said Firedrake. But I wish I knew how the others are doing back at home. I'd like to know how close the humans have come, and whether the sound of their machines is already echoing over the dark mountains. But unfortunately, he sighed, looking out to sea again where patches of silver moonlight floated on the waves. Unfortunately, I don't have 1,000 eyes like Azif. Who knows? By the time I reach the rim of heaven, it may be too late for the others.
Oh, come on! Ben patted the dragon's silver flank affectionately. You've made it this far. Once we cross the sea, we're almost there.
That's right, said Sorrel.
She had been off to fill the water bottles.
Smell this,
she added, holding a paw full of prickly leaves under Ben's nose.
They had a heavy, spicy fragrance. These things prickle your tongue, but they taste almost as good as they smell. Where are the backpacks?
Here. Ben handed them over to her.
But be careful you don't squash Twigleg. He's asleep in among my clothes.
Don't worry, I won't snap his little legs off, muttered Sorrel, stowing the aromatic leaves away in her backpack.
As she bent over Ben's pack, Twigleg stretched his arms out of it, yawning.
Ugh.
He looked around, then hastily tucked his head back inside.
What's the matter? Asked Ben in surprise.
Water,
replied the mannequin, wriggling down among Ben's now sandy clothes till only the tip of his nose was showing.
All that water makes me nervous.
Just for once we feel the same way,
said Sora, putting her backpack over her furry shoulder. I'm not too keen on water either, but we have to get across it.
You never know who can see you when you're over water, muttered Twigleg.
Ben glanced down at him in surprise.
What on earth do you mean?
Who'd be looking at you? The fish?
Yes, yes, that's what I mean, Twigleg giggled nervously. Fish.
Shaking her head, Sora climbed on Firedrake's back.
What? Utter rubbish, he talks, she growled. Even the elves aren't that stupid, and they can chatter on all night.
Twigleg stuck out his pointed tongue at her. Ben couldn't conceal a grin. Want me to leave the backpack open? He asked the homunculus.
No, said Twigleg. Strap it up by all means, young master. I'm used to the dark.
If you say so.
Ben closed his backpack, climbed onto the dragon's back with it, and strapped himself to Firedrake's spines. Then he took the compass out of his pocket. If they weren't going to rely on Sorrel's instincts, they'd be needing it over the next few days and nights. Hundreds of miles of seawater lay ahead of them. There would be no coastline to help them find their way, only the sky above, and none of them knew much about navigating by the stars.
Ready,
called Firedrake, shaking the desert sand from his scales for the last time and spreading his wings.
Ready,
Sorrel called. Firedrake rose into the dark sky and flew toward the moon. It was a fine, warm, starlit night. They had soon left the mountainous coast behind. Darkness swallowed up the land, and ahead of them, behind them, and to the left, to the right of them stretched nothing but water.
Now and then the lights of a ship winked on the waves. Seabirds flew by, squawking in alarm at the sight of Firedrake. Just after midnight, Sorrow suddenly gave a terrified shriek and bent over the dragon's neck.
"Firedrake!" she called. "Firedrake, have you seen the moon?"
"What about it?" asked the dragon.
All this time, his eyes had been fixed on the waves below, but now he looked up. He saw what made his wings feel as heavy as lead.
"What is it?"
Ben leaned over Sorrel's shoulder in alarm.
"The moon!" she cried frantically. "It's turning red!"
Now Ben saw it too. The moon was indeed taking on a tinge of coppery red.
What does it mean?" he asked, baffled.
"It means it'll disappear any moment now," cried Sorrel. "There is going to be an eclipse, a moldy old eclipse of the moon, now of all times."
She gazed down at the crashing, foaming waves in terror. Firedrake was flying more and more slowly, his wings beating as sluggishly as if invisible weights hung from them.
"You're flying too low, Firedrake," called Sorrel.
"I can't help it," the dragon called back to her wearily. "I'm as weak as a duckling, Sorrel."
Ben looked up at the sky where the moon now hung like a rusty coin among the stars.
"We've seen eclipses before," babbled Sorrel, "but we were always above solid land at the time. What are we going to do now?"
Firedrake dropped lower and lower. Ben could already taste the salty spray on his lips. And then, in the last red glow of light cast on the waves by the fading moon, he suddenly saw a chain of small islands rising from the sea in the distance. Strange islands they were, rising humpbacked from the water like half-submerged hills.
"Firedrake!"
shouted Ben as loud as he could. The pounding of the waves tore the words from his lips, but the dragon had keen ears.
"Look there! Ahead of us!" yelled Ben. "I can see islands! Try to land on one of them!"
At that very moment, the Earth's dark shadow engulfed the moon. Firedrake plummeted from the sky like a bird winged by a shot, but the first of the strange islands was already below him. To Ben and Sorrel, it looked almost as if the island chain were rising toward them from the foaming sea. The dragon fell rather than landed on the island. His riders were almost wrenched from their straps. Ben realized he was trembling all over, and Sorrel wasn't doing much better, but Firedrake let himself sink to the ground with a sigh, folded his wings, licked the salt water off his paws.
"Lawyer's wig and hedgehog fungus!"
Weak at the knees, Sorrel slid off Firedrake's back.
"This journey's going to shorten me life by 100 years. No, more like 500 or 1,000. Ugh!"
Giving herself a shake, she looked down the steep slope of the hilly island to the black waves breaking on its shore.
"We almost took a very nasty dip in the sea."
"I can't make it out."
Ben slung the backpacks over his shoulders and climbed down Firedrake's tail. There weren't any islands marked on the map. Narrowing his eyes, he peered into the darkness where one steep little hill after another rose from the sea.
"That just proves what I keep telling you," said Sorrel. "The rat's map is useless."
She looked around her, snuffling.
"There's something fishy about this."
"Well," Ben shrugged his shoulders, "we're in the middle of the sea. There's bound to be fish around."
"No,"
Sorrel shook her head.
"I mean, there's something wrong about this island. And it smells of fish."
Firedrake got to his feet and looked more closely at the ground.
"Look at that," he said. "The island's covered with fish scales. It's like a..."
"Yes, like a giant fish," whispered Ben.
"Get on my back," called Firedrake. "Quick!"
At that moment, the island quivered.
"Run!"
shouted Sorrel, pushing Ben toward the dragon. They scuttled over the damp and scaly mound. Firedrake stretched out his neck, and as the island rose higher and higher from the waves, the two of them hauled themselves up by his horns. Clutching his spines, they scrambled onto his back and strapped themselves in place with trembling fingers.
"But the moon!" cried Ben desperately. "The moon is dark! How are you going to fly, Firedrake?"
He was right. There was nothing but a black gaping hole in the sky where the moon should have been.
"I must try anyway," cried the dragon, spreading his wings.
But whatever he did, his body wouldn't rise a finger's breadth into the air. Ben and Sorrel exchanged horrified glances. Suddenly, with a loud snort, a mighty head shot out of the sea in front of them. It had large fins like
decorative feathers growing on it. Slanted eyes flashed at them mockingly beneath heavy lids, and a forked tongue flickered beneath the two sharp, needle-like fangs that emerged from the creature's narrow jaws.
"A sea serpent!" cried Ben. "We've landed on a sea serpent!"
The serpent's long, long neck rose from the water until its head was hovering directly above Firedrake, who stood on the scaly hump of the creature's back as if he'd taken root there.